down a fact checker.
We're down a fact checker.
We're up with Dreesy.
We're up with Dreesy.
Oh, yeah, Dreesy's back.
Dreesy's back, baby.
Just when you thought Dreesy's we got rid of him.
Just when you thought we finally.
We can't delete Dreesy.
We tried.
Turns out he's like a cockroach. He's hard to get rid of.
I think Dreesy can survive a nuclear holocaust.
Bro, I don't. Alex said I'd be a fucking warlord. I'm taking that to the bank.
I wouldn't.
Okay, Tracy.
That's because... yeah, that...
The man's like, he's a warlord. He doesn't even know his name.
My name is Tracy. I'm a warlord.
Oh, yeah, Tracy, the warlord.
The warlord.
I'm a big dog, big warlord. I'm a Tracy.
Bro, who the fuck is Radbone Judah?
Song of the day is Die Very Rough. We're establishing that already. Now we're going to loop in afterwards.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Yeah, welcome back to the situation.
Indeed.
Back, guys. It's been a while since the last week.
It has been. So much has been happening, bro.
Yeah.
Like, 2020 is the just fucking batshit.
2020 is like just falling down the stairs, and just when you think you hit the bottom, oh, wait, more stairs.
I have a feeling this podcast is going to be so fucking hard to hear because of all, like, the reverb and shit.
Absolutely. You guys need to hang
the echo. It's going to be nuts, dude.
Yeah.
Carpets on the wall.
I've been thinking about investing in, like,
soundproofing.
This is a nice place. I'm not soundproofing my house. I've been thinking about investing in, like, multiple mics, so we each have, like, our own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have to get I have a mixing board. I was gonna say, I'm like, oh, well, I'd have to get sound equipment. I'm like, I have
sound equipment. You're the guy. You're my executive producer.
I have
you didn't have the sound guy.
I don't know. You're fired.
I already have the sound equipment. Tom, what do? I make things sound. How?
What do you do?
Sound check. Good job, guys. We did it. That's the podcast. See you next week, whenever we decide to do this again.
Yeah. Next.
There's no schedule. Stop asking.
We're anarchists on this podcast.
Yeah. There are no rules.
Communism.
There's one rule.
There's one rule. Put your shirt back on. There's one rule. It was a Little Caesar.
It's hot and it's ready.
Dude, that's going to be the COVID vaccine. They'll be like, is it effective? It's hot and it's ready. But does it work? It's hot and it's ready.
Flaming hot.
Thank
COVID.
You, Pfizer. Oh, my God. I don't know, man. I think Trump's finally going to concede.
Most of his party's done. He's like, thanks for all the votes. We took 10 seats back from the Democrats. I think on track taking 5 more. So that's why they're holding out. That's why they're not
doing they're literally just supporting him just to, like, keep the voters turning out.
It's for Senate gridlock.
They're doing it for, like, the runoffs and shit to not discourage their supporters.
Yeah.
They're like, no, he's a lunatic, but we have to.
They're going to treat him like Jimmy Carter.
Who's that?
That's how the Democrats
treat him. Peanut farmer? Dude, more people know Jimmy Carter as a peanut farmer than they do a president. That just speaks volumes.
That's like the 40 years of Democrats trying to make you forget that he was their president.
He's still alive.
Yeah,
he's the oldest living president.
How old is he now?
Ah, he's got to be old.
He's the oldest living. How old?
He got to be old.
Or else he wouldn't be the oldest living president.
So glad you could quantify that.
Thank you, man. Bush is a painter, bro.
W paints birds and collects sticks.
Good for him.
So I'm glad he's living his best life. He's friends with Ellen DeGeneres. Good for you, man. Listen, I blame Cheney for all the shit that happened during
Cheney was
just a guy like, hey.
You know what I mean?
He was just up there like, I did it. My daddy's going to love me. And you're like, no, you're still the drunk failure.
Yeah, man. He's like, vote for my brother Jeb.
Bush elected Holy Roman Emperor by Pope Francis.
Jeb. That's going to be me and Joe are going to write an autobiography together, and it's going to be called If Jeb Won.
The Life and Times of Joe and Tom.
That's it.
Buy our book. We'll tell you about that. The Jeb Bush presidency, The Life and Times of Joe and Tom.
I don't know if I want to advertise that on my podcast. That sounds awful.
That sounds so bad.
No.
If Jeb won, I don't want that. Delete this.
No
part.
We'll just say it to our book and we'll have the link. We won't say it, but the link.
I don't know. The link
is way worse than just dropping it on
the episode
no one
listens
to.
Because then it's physically there.
It's like, oh yeah, should we check out that episode or the link?
Let's see what the link's about.
Yeah.
Not going to listen to this podcast.
If Jeb Bush would have won the 2016 presidency.
Oh my goodness.
What a world.
It couldn't have been worse than now, because I don't believe it could be.
I think it's going to get worse.
That's not what I said, but thank
not
you.
Not what
you
said
at all.
Did we not change subjects?
No, we did not.
Don't buy his book.
Don't buy my book.
We're gonna get all like apocalypse doomsday on this one.
No, Greasy's here. Okay, that's fair.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, you're always here, bro. We'll start charging rent.
You live here more than Mars room. You just
picked up like a utility or something.
And you know Mark has never actually listened to this podcast?
Yeah. What?
Mark has never listened to this podcast.
I believe that.
I listen to every episode.
He doesn't give a shit.
He doesn't even live here.
Yeah.
Who is Mark? The
10 o'clock at 10:30, bro, you will have surpassed more hours stayed here. So when you say at 10:30, you reach that crescent.
Okay, all right. Enough. That's all right. We did. We are at 6 minutes of nothing. So, hello, everyone. If you stuck it out,
welcome.
Executive producer Tom is on site.
All right.
So oh, God. Howdy.
Sorry for the sound quality. We're in my dining room, and there's only metal furniture in here, so there's really nothing to absorb the sound.
And wood floors.
Joe is here.
What's up, guys?
And Dreesy is back again.
Hello.
Don't ask me why.
You can't get rid of me.
I've tried.
No, we cannot.
So, Tom, you had the topic for tonight.
Yeah.
What did you...
We were going to talk about now that a lot of the hellstorm has subsided.
Shit show.
That is the 2020 election.
Shit show.
Whoever you voted for, you were wrong. No. I've noticed that, I mean, at least I thought I saw an article that said that Trump is starting to now finally give leeway for Biden's administration to start moving in.
Really?
I saw that on Reuters, and then I sent it to a friend, and for some reason there was some weird Mandela effect, because then it said the title changed from Trump giving the okay for Biden to move in, then turned to no secessions... Or what was it? It was like, no conceding in sight. And I'm like, what is going on here?
That's the Mandela effect, bro. It was because you texted it. You just like reset.
It's your fault.
Well, that's
me and my oceans, man.
You and all your oceans.
You and all my
oceans. All you and all your
seven
oceans.
Just
fucked up, bro. Like, he was doing it. He was doing it, and you just had to send the text. And then he was like, Thom Rats is sharing this information?
Nah, fuck that.
Absolutely not. I'm standing my ground.
We will not give up. This is gonna be Battle of the Bulge all over again.
Bro, the press conference in front of the landscaping company.
Was that the one? Oh no! And then the
right
other
next
one
to the dildo factory in the crematorium.
That was when I heard that first, I thought it was like just a stand-up bit,
like it was a
and
joke.
Then I was like, this is real.
Yeah, man.
I thought it was just like
it was a Babylon Bee article, honestly, something like that.
A
and then
what?
Like The Onion.
It was like an
Onion article. I'm like, oh, and then like the picture of it and the podium in front of the crematorium and the dildo factory. I'm like, oh no, it's real. I'm not even surprised with how this year's been going. Yeah, I should have known.
So funny.
I was so confused. I had no idea what that was about until the day later when I'm like, I wonder what this whole thing, like the memes about the landscape.
Yeah.
Like, what is this? And all of a sudden, it's like press conference held at Four Seasons. I'm like, oh, that must be a nice banquet hall. And then I finally put it together. I'm like, oh no, it's the Four Seasons landscaping. And they had a press conference about how they will not give up the vote, how they will fight to win. He won by a lot. I don't know if you know this leader or listener, whoever you are. Trump won by a lot, apparently. And we're still trying to figure out.
And he knows every word in that sentence.
He knows every word. Don't use that word smart. Don't use smart with me, Joe. Don't use that word with me.
Sure.
Sure, Batman.
Well, pick you back what Tom was saying. There was one of his own cabinet.
Did you say pick you back with what Tom was saying?
No, I said piggyback.
Oh,
that's
okay.
A Missy Elliott song.
Is it?
Nope. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. I don't know who she is.
Like... All right.
That was good.
So, what are we picking you backing off?
Trump's General Service Minister Emily Murphy sent in a letter to Joe Biden saying starting the transition.
So his administration's doing it.
Yeah,
Trump
is the only one on that. I think even Mike Pence is just like went to Indiana.
Maybe.
Or whatever he is, because he's not even saying anything. He just like went back to his house.
Yeah, that's why Pence went home. He's like, I'm done. He's like, I did it.
I did it. I was the
DP. Stupid fly. Like, that's all anyone's going to remember me for, and I hate this.
And
go
home. And honestly,
I just want to go back to Indiana.
I'm going back to Indiana. That's what he should be remembered for, as the fly on him. Yes. He didn't do anything.
He's going back to Indiana and sleeping in a bed adjacent to the bed that his wife sleeps in.
Yes. Mechanical pencil.
Yeah, Mike Pence's real full name is mechanical pencil. A lot of people don't know that about
him. A lot of people don't know that. But dude, no, it's, I mean, like, fucking wild times, man. And, like, I'm seeing, it's crazy how much propaganda has successfully taken over the, you know, the citizens of this country and the mindset. I mean,
yeah.
On both sides. Both
yeah,
sides,
yeah,
100%.
Forget, like, sides for a minute. Just picture there's, like, the mass of people, like, how much... Not even just misinformation, how much garbage is out there now. Like, someone says this and that, and then people just run with it, and it's just...
Dude, it's nuts, bro.
It's absolutely insane.
Well, that's the craziest thing, bro. Everybody has a source now, but it's not always a good source. And then people are just like, no, this... My sister's blog said this, and, you know, you have to support local business, so I believe her. And I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, my friend's wife's...
Hey guys, it's Tom from The Zituation, just here to tell you about the platform we're actually using to get this podcast out. It is called Anchor. It's creation tools that allow us to record and edit the podcast right from my phone, actually. And it actually distributes the podcast for us, so I have to do very little work for this. You make money with the podcast, which is what I'm currently trying to do. And it's everything you need to make in a podcast in one place. That was the last bullet point I just read. Anyway, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Get the Anchor app.
All right. Yeah, we're back. Just think of that first section of the podcast as a reflection of 2020. Pure chaos and none of it made sense.
Oh, man. And we still don't know when the Model T's are made.
Yeah, that's the jury's still out on that one.
Yeah,
but we do know
we all there's two computers on this table and four smartphones. We still have no idea when the Model T was made.
But we do know planes were in 1903.
Oh, okay,
Joe, is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Joe said it, man. Oh man. But so yeah, it's been about 3 weeks from the election. Mitch got back from working down here. You were down there while they were having the elections, right?
Yeah, I was in DC.
How was that like?
DC, first of all, let me just say this about the DC work. Oh, yeah. Hold on.
Pass me the hookah.
DC it was a lot, man. So I was down there working, putting an exhibit in the Holocaust Museum, mm-hmm. which is, you know, it's something I'm very proud to say I was a part of. You know what I mean? To contribute to that place of remembrance, you know, it's a lot. I didn't do anything impressive, but like to just say I was able
that
to
I worked
that.
In that
yeah,
exhibit,
and
yeah.
Like I can carry that with me, man. It almost feels like a service, you know what I mean? Or a privilege, really. But but it was really morbid because I'm just working in a museum for genocide, putting up an exhibit for a currently ongoing genocide for 3.5 weeks. Like, and I just went from the hotel to work and back to the hotel. Shut up. But
proceed.
So yeah, dude, it was just like really morbid. You know, I didn't have any friends down there. I didn't know anybody. I didn't really work with anybody in my age group. I was working with all older dudes. I was staying with a carpenter in his like late 60s. You know what I mean? It's just like real. It took a lot out of me, man. But I'll say one thing for sure. It was a rough 3 weeks. But when they called the election, that it was nuts, dude. It was absolutely nuts. I was. Need anything lighter?
There we go. All
right. It was absolutely nuts, man. Like the city was dead. I mean dead. No one out.
Not a soul.
For 2.5 weeks. You know what I mean? Or two? No, I was down there for 4 weeks. I was only on the Holocaust for 3. So for.
What were you doing the first
3 week? I was working in some other building, just doing repair.
Okay.
But,
down some friends.
Yeah, just booling.
For
the first 3 weeks, dude, there's no one, man. Like, it was
a ghost town.
It was just sad, and like, it was like, you know what I mean? There's just nothing. It was depressing. But when that election was called for Biden,
all you could hear was car horns. The streets were full. The sun was out. Dude, it was like everything lined up, dude. And the entire...
It was a beautiful day.
It was a beautiful day. The entire city erupted in celebration. Now, I don't know if it was necessarily like, yes, Biden won. It was more, thank God Trump lost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what it really was. It wasn't even like, this is a victory for us. It was just like, it's a loss for him. That's all we really wanted.
Yeah, but that's kind of dangerous.
Oh, it's terrible, terrible.
It's terrible, but at the same time, that immediate gratification, that immediate relief was just kind of like,
it was, yeah, it was felt, dude. It was so felt.
We can breathe.
Like, I went out on my lunch break, man, and I just walked. I walked blocks, dude, and just throwing my hands up, and everyone's honking their horns. You got flags waving. I mean, everyone's like, yeah, yeah. We're all like, we did it. Like, everyone's just screaming, man. Like, it was the most beautiful I think I've ever seen DC.
Yeah.
Like, the entire city was nothing but love for everyone.
I get you.
You know what I mean? It was just like, yo, we did. Like, it was like we were all on the same team. Every single person in that city, minus the politicians, were all on the same team. For that day, you know what I mean.
It was a real moment of togetherness, and I think that only in DC, but like just
Everywhere. It was everywhere.
My girlfriend Jasmine was in Penn Station coming to see us when that happened, and she said it was like a New Year's celebration.
Yeah,
in the train station.
Yeah, dude, it was everywhere. And then after work, I went out. I'm like, are you serious? Like, look what's going on right now. I'm going out. You know, I kept my mask on, you know, did my best, but I had to experience that part of history, dude. I had to experience that moment of history. Mm-hmm. And I went out, I went over to BLM Plaza, popping off, ran over to the liquor store, got a bottle of Jameson, ran back, ended up directly in front of the White House, and just music blasting, people smoking, everyone drinking, just, there were people on streetlights. Doing champagne showers
like
and throwing bottles of like little bottles of Fireball and vodka. People, everyone's like, "Who wants? Fucking throwing bottles. Everyone's just getting. Everyone's happy as shit, dude. Like everyone you meet, you're just talking. And then like we were doing chants and shit. And I guess I was like a loud guy, so someone would start chanting, and then I would join in. And then that's when 30 other people started doing it.
Yeah.
People started coming up to me like, "Hey, do that one." And I'm like, "What?" They're like, do that. And I'm like, all right. And I just started screaming. Yeah, dude, because, like, my voice was, like, really loud.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Even when we were at the BLM protest in, like, Kearney and Nutley.
Yeah.
It was just, like, voices were booming.
Yeah. So it was, like, really cool because, like, I felt like I got to be a part of it. You know what I mean? I got to lead some chants and be happy with it. But there were organizers there in front of the White House. Yeah, they had, like, a megaphone. They were blasting music and stuff, but they were talking, like, you know, oh, okay, we have this person who wants to come talk. They're like, who wants to come up here and speak to the people?
Yeah.
That's all it was. It wasn't like we have an agenda. It was just like, anyone out there want to say something?
Mm-hmm.
And people were coming up and getting on the megaphone. They're like, listen, you know, we didn't win. The work starts now. Like, you know, like, everyone here is on the same page. Like, it's not over. Like, this is now we got to put work in. Like, we got that first step. Now let's carry it, you know? And then you had people going up, like, you know, just everyone, dude. You had this white kid, I forget his name. This is like this white college kid. He went up there and he was like, yeah, you know, like, we're all fucking brothers and sisters. We're all like, yeah. He's like, yeah, fuck Donald Trump. We're like, yeah. Like, you know, you had so many people from so many different walks of life address this crowd, and the whole crowd was like taking it in. It was so empowering, man. It was really cool. I almost got up there, but I was like, what am I gonna say? You know what I mean? But dude, this other dude came up to me because I was taking Snapchat. He's like, "Did you get that on video?" He got up there. He's like, "We need to fucking take out Mitch McConnell." this fucking huge ass. He looked like a TFM dude. You know what I mean? He's like, "We gotta take out Mitch McConnell. He needs to get the fuck out." We're like, "Yeah, fuck Mitch McConnell."
There can only be one Mitch.
Yeah, dude. This shit was mad funny, dude. But it's so much love, man. We're all dancing, just meeting each other. Oh man, it was amazing, dude. And I got way too carried away in the moment. I got real fucked up. I drank an entire bottle of Jameson.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of like, yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
I just want to bring up that there was a phone call.
Yeah, embarrassing phone call.
Was it?
No one needs to know that.
I have to live with that every day.
You had to incriminate yourself.
It's embarrassing. Well, I think we all have those blackout I'm in a terrible place phone calls. Oh, yeah. At least once in our life.
Oh, it's more than once. It's like once. It's like once a year now.
Yeah, like once
a year. Especially when you get into like your mid-20s, just kind of like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's like, there's people I need to apologize to.
Yeah, dude. I was on some shit. Dude, I just missed there. I felt like I was cut out, even though it was like my, you know, I was really drunk. Whatever.
But DC.
Yeah, so I'm just like stumbling back. Like, dude, but on my way to the rally.
Yeah.
All these cars are stopped, and I'm running up and down the streets like, where are the horns? And they're like, beep, beep. I'm like, argh. I was like, I've done frat parties. I know what to do. Like,
where are the horns?
But then a week later, they had that Million MAGA march.
They did.
That was a week later. Let me tell you the contrast in that city, man. It went from joy and just togetherness to this physical tension you can feel walking down the street. I mean, like, I don't get nervous or anxious, and I was shaking walking out because I'm like, what's going to happen? You know what I mean? Like, what's going to happen? And it was so unsettling. And I got out there. It was after the fact, though. Like, everything had kind of cleared out. But I went out there, and at the end of the rallies, where it was pretty much just the people who wanted to fight each other, and they were held off by police barricades. I mean, I must have saw 600 police officers. That in those three blocks that I was in. I mean, every kind of dude, and they were batons drawn, they were pepper spraying people.
Tear
I mean,
gas?
they were remote with tear gas, whatever. No, I didn't see any tear gas.
Really?
It was just pepper spray.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't that big. That's what I'm saying. It was two small groups of people, but that just wanted to get at each other. So the cops had to stay there and just make sure they never got at each other.
It wasn't
other.
Like the whole city was on fire.
What?
It wasn't like
the whole city. God, no, dude. There was like maybe like a hundred, like maybe 300 people in the street when I got there on both sides.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
total.
Yeah, like total, not including the cops. So, but dude, they were like moving and fucking like batons drawn, breaking crowds up and shit. It was nuts, dude. And it just, it painted a real ugly picture. And I think I finally saw, because I'm not going to lie, I definitely got wrapped up in the righteousness of current political movements and civil rights movements.
Absolutely.
And I don't think I've ever paid all that much attention to or saw firsthand the ugly side, the people who give it the bad name. And I saw it down there, you know, because obviously I was with the Joe Biden people. Like, you know, I'm not going to fucking go walk around with Trumpers. So there police, everyone's just screaming at each other and stuff. And this one Trump supporter walked through the Biden people and the press and all these things. And they just harassed him, dude. Like, they surrounded him and harassed him and tried to intimidate him. And somebody came up and ripped the hat off his head and threw it on the ground and just, like, casually walked away and never even looked at the man. And I was like, you know, if you're going to rip a hat off someone's head, you better be ready to sit there eye to eye with them.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But that's not the, like, ripping the hat off is ridiculous. And maybe I, you know, because again,
you did something wrong. You didn't even do the
right thing. I'm also not, like, I'm also not anyone who's ever felt the type of oppression that those people are fighting. So I am coming from an outside view, but where I was viewing it is I thought we were better than them. You know, I thought this side was supposed to be the good guys.
Yeah, like the better people.
And the way I saw it is they were just doing everything that they hate being done to them. You know what I mean? And it just, like, it really painted a really gross picture, man. It was something I was really uneasy watching it.
It painted the picture of, it doesn't matter color at this point, if you don't think like us.
Yeah, it wasn't color.
It's not red or blue.
It was just tribal. But again, it's the end of the night. You know what I mean? Like, there were these two guys on scooters. Like, dude, so many people were trying to pick fights too when I was walking. Like, that's what I mean, dude. Like, just walking there, I saw people trying to pick fights with other people. Like, yeah, these two girls on a, or these two guys are riding on scooters on their way to the BLM Plaza, and like as they're riding it, they just jump off and kick. And these are rental scooters, like those little
the birds.
Yeah, and they just like kicked it and dropped it in the middle of the street, and they just like walked away like they were cool, right? And then the guy at the hotel and his other friend walked over. I was actually gonna walk over and pick them up, but they were significantly ahead of me, so they went and did it. And there were these two girls on bikes. And the guy walked out to pick up the scooter, and the girl had to swerve, and she started, like, mouthing off, and he was like, I was trying to fucking pick that up for you, fucking idiot. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, oh, what the fuck? She threw her bike down, got off. Like, oh, what the fuck? And he's like, I'm not trying to fucking fight you. I'm just trying to pick up a scooter.
Yeah,
she's like,
oh,
what the fuck? Bet you won't say that to me again, blah, blah, blah. And like, he was just looking for fights.
It was just
that's what I mean.
Prime hostility.
Yeah, dude. I was so anxious. Cause I'm like, I'm a fucking
it's
white
gonna
dude.
Pop off. Yeah.
You know, I'm just a white dude walking around in DC right now when there's a million MAGA march. Like, people might have problems with me. People might start things with me. Because, like, how can you differentiate realistically?
Exactly.
I wasn't wearing a Biden anything, you know what I mean? And when tensions are that high, mistakes can be made, dude. I was so nervous to be out there.
People don't care. They're just going to start swinging.
Yeah, bro. And it was just gross, man. It was gross. It was something I'm glad I saw personally, though, because it definitely... Because it's like, you know, you sit over here as someone who's like, okay, I'm like Joe Biden's side. I'm this side. Like, I'm going for what we're ultimately going for over here. And then you see that, and you look at all the Trump supporters that are there witnessing it and recording it from their hotel rooms and recording this, that, and the other thing. And now all you people have done for your movement is provide video evidence of you screaming, I'm gonna fuck you up, with police holding you back. Like, what do you think that does to the reputation of what you're trying to do?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's been you know what I mean? For
like,
so
it,
long.
It was like, I was just there. I'm like, why are you guys shooting yourselves in the foot? I understand you want to go and form a wall in BLM Plaza, make sure no drunk Trump loyalist wants to deface something. I'm there for that.
Yeah,
man.
Because 9 times out of 10,
you just
sides.
Make a line, like, don't touch the artwork here, don't touch anything.
Because 9 times
do
out of
your
10,
thing.
9 times out of 10, both sides don't want violence. They differ in view, but not everybody wants violence. It's
no.
always it's always
yeah,
the bad view. Both
and
sides
it
got
it. It was just really, it was really disgusting, man.
Yeah.
It was really disgusting. Just like the type of people that were out there.
It's so bad. When you look back on everything, the real people that progress are the bigger men. You know, the bigger person, excuse me. But it's like every actual, yes, like rules need to be broken, of course. That's how you make new rules. But at the same time, it was doing that in a very respectful manner. You know what I mean? Like, the people that stood there and took those hits, how messed up they were when you look at the civil rights. And those guys took those hits, and they stood there. And that's what they did. And they're like, no, I'm here. I'm right here. And then you look at all these people now that are trying to think that they are going to be the progressors. And they're acting like this.
This is very dangerous territory. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you're inching towards right
yeah.
now. Because you're commenting
you're
on,
equating
on how
it yeah.
people should protest, and you're putting past protesters above current ones. And the issue with that is the past protesters definitely
had their bet.
Did things differently. Definitely had their war. I would call it a war.
Yeah.
You know, the civil rights activists.
Yeah, the freaking race
riots.
We know them as the race riots.
Yeah. So there was definitely a war, but also they didn't have nearly the amount, they didn't have anywhere near the amount of rights that people of color have now. That was all they could do, was sit there and be attacked by dogs.
I see what you're saying.
They didn't have that voice. And if they did, would you, you know, are you taking a position that they would have still done the same thing? That's what I mean. Is it's really dangerous to
what
you're
saying. I see what you're saying.
And also, like, how to protest, right? Like, what happened in Minneapolis? Like, burn the city to the ground, dude. Like, how many times are they going to kill an innocent black person?
Yeah.
An innocent, unarmed black person? How many times? How many times? Yeah. Okay. I'm not here to incite violence. But I'm saying in that situation, after watching countless of these people, of you know, your fellow people that look like you, people that come from your walk of life just being wrongfully killed and nothing done about it, things are going to get messy, right? But I think being violent, intimidating antagonists at a rally for people who lost but just don't want to accept they lost is a line, I think, that
close of a similarity. I was not trying to make it that close.
No, I know you weren't. I know
but
you
I understand
weren't.
I understand the territory that we could have treaded into if we did not abruptly change this.
But it's just like, because it's also, you know, at the same point, you know, again, no one here at this table has experienced, you know, what Black America is. You know, no one here has experienced what being an immigrant in America. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many walks of life that we have no idea of. We can only hear
and try to understand perspectives of people in those walks of life.
Exactly.
So it's I have a hard time saying you should or should not do this.
Oh yes.
You know what I mean? But like, because I think there's a time and a place, and there was a lot of appropriate violence that has happened over this year.
And that is necessary.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of appropriate outrage and rioting. I 100% believe that. I'm just saying what I saw in D.C. was just ugly. It was just like there was no righteousness. There was no. It was just pure hate. There was no defending. Yeah. It was just attacking. And again, like maybe they should attack. You know, I don't know. Maybe taking an attack is where people are at. I don't know. All I'm saying is like, you know, I felt that this group of people were the ones that were like, we are right. You know, we are
the fanatics,
good.
The fanatics.
We are no. I'm saying I thought that they were like, we are right. We are good. We are for the equality of people. We are for the love of people. We are for change. We're for positivity. We're for
a better world,
a better tomorrow. And just all I saw was just deep hatred. And while that's something I can completely understand, it's something I kind of came to the conclusion with because, you know, I have family members I have to have these battles with. And sometimes they say things and I just want to erupt and I want to be like, how fucking stupid are you? Like, how can you fucking think that? You know what I mean? You know, and it's something I never understood because I'm somebody who's like, oh, Hitler, fucking kill him. Oh, this guy, fucking kill him. Politicians, fucking kill him, right? Yeah. Like, I think like a lot of people are. But love really has to beat hate. And it's the only thing that does beat hate. And it breaks down to tribalism, man.
Exactly.
That's the whole reason behind it, is because of the tribalism aspect. It's swaying people. So you can never, if I went up to a Trump supporter, and said, you know, fuck you, combative, hostile, you're fucking
aggressive.
Wrong, this, that, and the other thing. All that does is solidify their stance to them. All that does is harden their stance. All that does is make them back into the people that protect them, that validate them.
And it also
so
goes
all this
ways,
big
though.
Screaming matches is just tearing people apart. What we need to do is love. We need to be like, okay, listen, you support that man who really hurts me, who does a lot of bad things, but can you tell me why?
Exactly.
And then like, okay, that's interesting.
There's not enough peaceful dialogue.
Yeah, but it's just like, but it's nuts, dude. Like, you really have to, and loving is work, dude.
Loving is
work. Like, loving is work. I fucking hate Trumpers, dude. Yeah. Like, it's like deep-rooted. It's like, dude, how? Like, how? After everything that man has done, how? But it's like, at the same time, it's you have to curb that.
Absolutely.
And you have to love, and it's just like, I don't want the side pushing for positive change to lose that in the hate.
Because
if they lose that in the hate, then they lose, period. We lose if we just allow ourselves to hate.
Definitely, man. And I was thinking about that a lot, actually.
That was fucking great. Someone quote me on that. But
it's in the podcast.
No, I know, but that's going to be a quote.
No, but I think that's a big thing of just trying to starting to find the similarity of the people, because I feel like the first step in love is understanding.
Well,
and that first thing is gain those similarities. Like, what are those things that you guys both love? I mean, I'm sure I've talked about this before, but there's been conversations that I've had with people that have left me in very bad tastes with them and me and theirs. And it was that one step of, okay, what if we don't talk about the actual person of the politician? We focus on the ideas between each other. We focus on that.
Like, step away from all these personal attacks and, like, let's talk about what their goals are.
Because immediately when you start conversation with people in 2020, it was not, what do you like? There was no light. I mean, it's not even light. There was no, it was always like, are you a Trumper or are you a Democrat? Are you a Trumper or are you a liberal? And then we'll build the conversation.
Yeah.
Because once you think that you're a Trump or a liberal, you then have a preconceived idea and bias towards this person because you think you know what they believe in already. And when you start attacking them and calling them a Trumper, or calling them a liberal, they will then start backing into that corner, into dangerous territory in that corner, which is not the good that needs to be looked for, but rather just defending what attacks come from them, from the other person. So once you, like, I mean, I was having a conversation with someone, and they knew, I knew they were a Trumper. They knew that I was middle of the road. And we were just attacking each other because we thought that we knew what the other believed in.
Right.
And then there was another conversation we had months later of just talking about things that we liked. And that branched us into what we really believed in as far as what we stand into it. Instead of, I believe what Trump says, I believe what Biden says. It was, I believe this. And it is good.
Yeah, dude. Like, I think it's really crazy.
Once you,
like,
take out those, once you political take out those biases.
Yeah. Once you take out the political mascots, I don't mean to cut you in, but I feel like that's a better term for it. Yeah. Because in reality, they're just mascots. It's, forget about party lines and what people represent. Forget, how about values?
Yeah.
Like, not just political values, but societal, economical, like, personal values, right? That's what makes the individual. Yet it's become, politics has become so engrossed into our lives that we've absorbed it as a personality almost. Not every, I'm not saying everybody has, but
goes back to exactly what I was saying about how much impact Trump had.
Exactly. Yeah, because
that was Trump.
Yeah.
Like, Trump did this. You know what I mean? Not, maybe not intentionally, but like, he,
this was him,
Trump
being
was the
there
cause, and this was the effect.
What this,
yes,
what caused. And it's not because of the man himself. You know, we could talk about how rough of a human he is, like, on a separate, like,
I think
because
it has something to do with the man.
No, it does, but at the same time, though, Trump isn't the problem. Now, hear me out. He is a symptom
of
the problem,
yeah,
that has developed.
It's,
and
the
thus,
silent majority, as they like to call themselves.
But that's the thing, though. The
nice
silent majority
wave.
And what?
It's a nice red wave
on the house, yeah, that was.
That is true. But it you, you go, I'm going back to it, you get rid of the political mascots and you just go down to values. People are obviously going to agree and disagree, and they're going to get vehement about one thing or another. But it doesn't happen as frequently. We aren't as cold and hostile if you don't even mention them at all to begin with. You're just people at that point, because politics has not taken over your personality. And I don't mean like, oh, I'm, you know, absorbing these beliefs and that's how I live.
I think it definitely helps reshape.
It reshapes how you
priorities.
Not just priorities. It reshapes how you treat other people, because you believe, regardless of what you believe that if you don't think like this in this group think, I can't associate with you because that, you know, because I am told that you are not necessarily the enemy, but you are opposed to me. You don't want to act civilly.
Right.
Now, while we do see the bad of both sides, there's a lot of Trumpers and Proud Boys that fight and start shit. There's a lot of people in BLM and Antifa that have caused problems before, because there's bad on both sides. There's
right.
bad people, period.
There's just bad people in every bunch.
Yes.
Bad people.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though. Those are the people, unfortunately, that are being focused on and giving the value of both groups. Now,
right.
I don't agree. You know where I stand. I'm the middle of the road.
Right.
But slander, fear controls more than anything else.
We are afraid to get to know each other because we feel like we're going to be attacked for how we view the world and how we act and live it.
Yes, but like, I completely agree with you, but I think, like, this is me personally, and tell me if I'm wrong. I think Trump did and said enough things.
No, he did.
To where, like, this is when it gets murky. To where someone says, yes, I support him, is like, okay,
it's
you
become,
did draw
it's
a
become,
line.
No, it's become real, to, like, the point of religious fanaticism. I'm
no,
not
it is.
That.
But it's a, but that's what I'm saying. Is like, oh, take the mascots away, what we believe in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, I agree with that 100%.
But because of
but
what has happened since 2016.
Just look what he said, what he stands by. The fact, you know what I mean? Just like his actions, the way he's protected white supremacists, the way he, you know what I mean? All this stuff. And for someone to be like, no, I still support him, I think he's like a line in the sand.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's unfortunate because there shouldn't be, because it's not a party thing anymore. I got it. I see it. It's not, it's no longer a party thing, but it's like, do you stand by that man?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Well, unfortunately, that does tell me
it's
enough
blind,
about
it.
It tells me enough about that person.
Yeah. It's chicken and the egg. It's really chicken and the egg. About
yeah.
Society versus Trump, you know?
It's like that. It tells me enough about with his track record and the things he's done, the damage he's done and the harm he's done.
Yes.
It
I'm gonna take this back. Fuck you, Joe. He's asking for the lighter.
Okay, that's true. If you can stand by him, that more than says enough about you as a person.
I definitely see what you mean by that, and I do agree. I mean, it is.
I don't think it should be that way for everyone. I just think he's done so much to where if you still
he has caused people to be like that.
It is fanaticism.
It is.
You did not fall in love with the policies. You did not do enough research into your policies.
You fell in love with the person.
You fell in love with the person. You did whatever they said.
And that's
it wasn't
the
you fell in love with the idea that you found a person.
But that's the thing, though.
When you're lonely. That is loving when you're lonely.
Yeah.
Trump is the embodiment of loving while you're lonely. If any of y'all had a toxic ex, be truthful to yourselves and don't say you were the problem. You dated a Trump. You didn't love what they did. You just wanted the sex. You didn't care that they hated you, that they hated your mom, things like that. It's because they were there.
And the sex was great.
And yeah, if they weren't there, you wouldn't know what to do with yourself. That's why all the mid-50s and 60s women and men love them. Because they're like, oh, if my wife leaves, I literally don't know what I'm going to do with my life.
Ugh.
Or if my husband leaves, I literally am just going to die. Like, no, just stop the codependency. Think for yourselves.
Yeah,
amazing. Love each other. What were you saying?
No, okay, so what I was saying was...
You got less than a minute.
Oh, that's fair. What I was saying was he started this chain of events that have allowed people to idolize and worship political figures. Like, he was the first. He started the MAGA movement and that Trump, you know, dynasty cultism. And that, you know, eventually branched to Bernie Bros, Hillary, Biden.
Hillary.
Because Hillary, yes, let's be real here. I've got a
she killed
very
my
good chance of
dying.